Okay, so next week is an online week. And I am going to ask you to look at a few things, but it's going to be a light week because it's since it's an online week, I'm making it a light week and a catch-up week. I will not be here. So it's an online week, as I said, as opposed to a hybrid week, as opposed to an in-class week. Pat will be here on Tuesday and Thursday from 9:30 to 2:30. And he'll be in this room from 9:30 until 2:15, and then he'll move over to K118 and finish up there on Tuesday and Thursday. You can come any time, okay? So it's not that you can have to come at 11. You can come at 9:30 if you want to. You can come at any time. If you're caught up, then you don't come. But if you need help or something, then this would be a good time to come and just work on stuff. And then there's other people in the class you can ask questions to. If Pat is overwhelmed, you can ask questions of other people in the class.
Yeah, just sit around your classmates because they've either gone through it or are going through it.
Right.
It'll be good.
Yeah, no.
Together.
So, at the end of that, homework from the first half of the semester up through week 7 needs to be passed in by April 11th, or you're going to start losing real points on it. Okay, so up through week 7 needs to be passed in through April 11th. Because essentially, if I don't start getting that stuff, then it's all over anyway, because you can't get caught up much beyond that. Okay, so I need you to get me the first 7 weeks through April 11th. I will still take them after that, but you're going to get chopped with a lot of points taken off if they come in after April 11th. Okay? So, you've got a week to work on it. Pat's going to be here April 9th and April 7th, and then the 11th is a Saturday, so you can even work on it Friday and Saturday. I want them by Saturday because I want to see what I'm going to be getting so that I can look at them on the 12th, hopefully. And if I get a complete flood, then I probably won't get through them all on the 12th, but I'm reserving the 12th for me to look at them. Questions? Okay, so that is a nag, it is a threat, it is anything else you want to call it, but get your act together, folks. Okay, we are going to go back and look at ASCII, which we started looking at last time. Okay, and we have looked at the capital letters. Okay, so basically, as I pointed out last time, A, okay, I can get rid of that. Okay, if you look at A has a 65 and a 41. 65 is decimal, 41 is hex. Okay, so A has a decimal 65 and a hex 41. Okay, so that means that I can use either one of these to figure out the binary. Okay, so if I use a hex 41, as I told you, 4 digits and 4 digits. Because what happens is any hexadecimal number can be translated into 4 binary digits. And any 4 binary digits can be translated into 1 hexadecimal number. So if I put the powers down here and I put in 4, 4 is 1, 2, 4, 8. 1, 2, 4, 8. And if you weren't here and don't understand this, then I suggest you look at the smart boards for last week. Okay, because we went over this. But these are the powers of two, and four means the four is turned on and the others are turned off. And the one means the one is turned on and the others are turned off. So that is the hexadecimal translation into binary. I've taken and translated that into binary. So, what we found out last time was that these first three characters tell me that it is uppercase. And the last five characters tell me which one. And I need five characters because there are 26 letters of the alphabet. And in four characters, I can only represent 15 of those. So I need one more character to represent higher in the alphabet. So if we look at Z, okay, and we go look at the chart, we see that Z is 90 and 5A. Okay, so Z is 90 and 5A. So it's 90 in decimal, and we'll look at a decimal in a minute, and 5A in hex. So if I come down and I say, okay, 5 is going to be, I need to turn on the 1 and the 4. Okay, 5, I need to turn on the 1 and the 4, because 1 and 4 make 5. A I have A is equivalent to 10. Okay, because in hex, remember, we count 0, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, A, B, C, D, E, F. So A is equivalent to 10. So how do I turn on 10? I turn on the 8 and the 2. And so that's the A. Okay? So that is a Z. And again, I need five characters to represent that. And this tells me it is uppercase. Okay. So, now let's look at it in decimal for a minute. When I convert to decimal, I'm still putting it in eight places because ASCII is an eight-digit code. But when I do it in decimal, what do? I do 1, 2, 4, 8, 16, 32, 64, 128. Okay, that's what I do in decimal. I do the powers of two all the way up. It doesn't have a nice neat match like hex does. So, if it's 65, what does that mean I turn on? I turn on the 64 and I turn on the 1 because that makes 65, right? And so I put 0 every place else. And I've got exactly the same code. Okay? Either way, whether I translate it in the decimal or if I translate it in the hex, I'm getting the same code. Okay, when I come over here and look at decimal for the Z, I've got 1, 2, 4, 8, 16, 32, 64, 128. So 90 is what do I turn on to get a 90?
64.
Don't need the 128, right? So that's off. What about 32? I don't need that either, right? Because if I add 32 to 64, I'm up to 96. And I only want to go to 90. What about the 16? I can use them. So what am I up to now?
80.
80. So what do I need to get to 90?
8 and 2.
8 and 2 gets me to 90. And again, it's the same thing. Now this makes it clear on the which. Because if I now look at the which, I have 16 plus 8 plus 2, that's an 8, which is 26, and it is the 26th letter. So if I look at it in the decimal, then it is real clear because I can run using the 45 digits, and I've got it, yeah.
It looks like a hexadecimal is a lot easier to convert into binary than a regular decimal.
Absolutely. I mean, I can do that without writing the numbers down because it's 4 and 4. It's a lot easier. So if somebody gives me a binary number, which is what I'm going to do now, okay, and I give you this number, okay, what letter is that? And give me the hex and give me the decimal, give me the world on this. First of all, which letter is it?
Did you mean to put 9 digits up there?
No.
That's why I'm getting strange looks. I added an extra 1 in there. That's what I meant to write.
So what I want to know is, and you have enough information to figure that out, I want to know what character it is, what the hex is, and what the decimal is. And you need your fingers to count. That's what you should be doing at some point, yeah.
The character is an uppercase O.
Okay, down. Oh. One at a time. Why? How did he come up with the character as an uppercase O? Yeah.
You had 8, 4, 2, and 1.
That's right. Which gives you 15, right?
That's the 15th character. Yeah.
Right. So the which is the last 5. So that's the last 5 is the which. Okay? And the witch has 1, 2, 4, 8, and 16. Okay? So I'm adding up 8, 4, 2, and 1, and I know it is the 15th character. Because 8, 4, 2, and 1 add up to 15. So I know it's the 15th character, and now I start with the fingers. A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J, K, L, M, N, O. Okay, so I know it is O, because I know O is the 15th character. Okay? So, you are using technology, and then you're using your fingers in order to do this. Okay, the hex for it, if I look at the hex, 0100111, what's the hex? Nope, not you. What's the hex?
Four F.
Four F.
1, 2, 4, 8, so that's a 4. 1, 2, 4, 8, so that is a F, because it adds up to 15, and 15 is an F. So this is an O, it is 4F, and then to figure out what it is in decimal, I keep going over here, and 64, right? 64 plus 8 is what? 72 plus 4.
76.
2.
28.
And 1.
79.
So it's 79 in the decimal. Okay, so somebody go look and see if we managed to do it right. Did we?
Yeah.
Okay, so if we come over to the chat and we look up the letter O, it is 81 in decimal, and what did we say?
No, 79.
We didn't add right, right?
It's supposed to be 79. It says 79.
It does say 79?
Yeah.
I just didn't read across, I guess. You're right.
Q is 89.
I went down. Yeah, you're right. Q, a P, whatever, 79. Okay, we got it right. Good. That's all I care about. Okay, so if I give you... letter is that? I want to know what character, I want the decimal, and I want the hex. Anybody get a character?
Capital S.
Capital S. So this is an S. And it's an S because 1, 2, 4, 8, 16 tells me the which. And it is 16 and 2 is 18 and 1 is 19. I know O is 15. So L M N O P Q R S. S is formula, so it's S. Okay, so it's the 19th letter. And the 19th letter is S. Okay? Now, if I take and turn this into hex, 01010011. And so this is the 5 and 1 is on, 4 and 1 is on, so it's a 5. And this is the 2 and 1 is on, so it's a 3, right? And if I look at the binary, I mean the decimal, 01010011, I've already got 19, and I need to add in 64, right? Because I already know that this is 19. So 19 and 64 gets me to what? 83? Is that right?
Yep. I
can add. Yeah. Okay. So basically, that's what you would get. Now, if we go over and we say, okay, I have no idea what that spells, but what does it spell? If I do a memory dump and I get the hex, what letters am I getting if I do this?
The first two would have been a D. 44 would be D.
Okay, shh. Not yet. Gotta wait, give people time. 0100, 0100. So this tells me, the which tells me it's the fourth letter of the alphabet, right? And if it's the fourth letter of the alphabet, it is D. Okay, so now what's the next one? Yeah, no, we can't. Not time. Not enough people look like they finished getting the answer.
I only finished
27. Okay, so what is 47? I'm waiting for people to look like they are done. Okay, how many people have figured out what 47 is? Ah, come on. 47. It's the what letter of the alphabet? Yes, you whispered it. You didn't have to whisper it. It's the seventh letter of the alphabet. So now we go to our fingers. A, B, C, D, E, F, G. Okay, so it's a G. Again, it is the first five. Tell me which one. And it's the seventh, because the four is turned on, the two is turned on, and the one is turned on. So 4, 2, and 1 make seven. So it's the seventh letter of the alphabet, and that tells me it's a G. Okay. In this one, what's turned on? The 16 and the 1 are turned on, right? The 4, 3, and 2 are not. Yeah, the 4, 2, yeah. I'll get that yet. 8, 4, and 2 are not. Let me just write that again. Okay. 0101100, all right, so anytime now, I'll just leave. Okay, I'm going to get this yet. A 1 is 0001, I know that, I really do. All right, so I now have 1, 2, 4, 8, 16. So 16 and 1 are on, right? Which means it's the 17th letter of the alphabet. And again, the first three tell me that it is upper case. Okay, so the 17th letter of the alphabet is what? We figured out O is the 15th. So L-M-N-O-P-Q. So it must be Q, right? Okay. So this is a Q. Okay. So basically, the deal is, if I give you a hex, you have the ability to turn it into a character, because you can take the hex and say 4 is 0100, the other 4 is also 0100. And once I know that, I look at the 5 characters there, and that tells me which one it is. Now, in fact, what I do first is look at what it is and know that it is uppercase. So it is probably best to say it's uppercase, and that tells me there's 26 involved. If it's a digit, if the first 3 characters are telling me it's a digit, there's only 10 digits involved, 0 through 9, right? So there's only 10 of those involved. But if it's an uppercase letter or a lowercase letter, then there are 26 possibilities. Okay, Pat, if you've got a look on your face like that, something I didn't say isn't clear.
I just kind of was confused about the 51. I thought that would be K, but because I was just counting.
17th, you don't count on your fingers well.
Yeah, I guess I didn't that.
A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J, K is 11.
I was just looking at 47. 47 is G. If that's the case, H is 48.
Wait a minute.
I is 49.
That's
it
right.
Means, brain, and then that, it would be K, right?
Wouldn't no.
K?
No. Okay.
Am
why?
I losing it?
Yeah.
Okay. Never mind.
Don't get an earache.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. 47. If I'm counting in hex, 47, 48. So that must be a G. That must be an H. 49. And then
J.
What have I got here?
50? Oh.
4A?
Yeah. It's
okay.
Yeah, okay.
I gotta go 4A.
I'll go 4B, back with my earring.
4C, 4D, 4E. Took too much medication today.
Yeah, I did.
4 F, and then you get to
5O and 5-1. Yeah.
So you gotta go all that distance to get to the 5-1.
I was stuck in base
on that. Yeah, no, I could tell you had a very perplexed look.
I was like, wait a minute.
Okay, so now if I go back to my chart and I look at lowercase. Lowercase is 97 and 61. Okay? So lowercase A is. Okay, 97 and 61. So 61 is what? What's a 6?
6 is a 0, 1, 1, 0.
And 1 is a? Right. So the which is, it's the first letter, right? And then this is going to tell me that it is lowercase. So the 0, 1, 1 there is telling me that it is lowercase. Okay? And if I look at this in decimal, I've got the 1 turned on, the 32 turned on, the 64 turned on, and when I add 64 plus 32 plus 1, I get 97. So that's the decimal. Okay, so if you're given the decimal, you can go down and turn on 64, 32, and 1. And then you can look at it and you can see the first 3 characters tell me it's uppercase. Okay? So the first 3 characters are telling me it's uppercase. And the last 5 are telling me which one of the uppercases. What you basically have then, as I said, is when you hit the keyboard and you hit capital A, you're getting a completely different binary than lower A. Because capital A
is going to be 0, 1, 0. And lowercase a is going to be 0, 1, 1. Okay, and then...
No, no, one too many times.
Did I get too many?
No, wait. No, you're good. I apologize.
I'm just going to ignore you.
Yeah, good idea.
Okay, so... Essentially, when I hit the keyboard and put in a capital A, it gets translated into the first set of binary. If I hit the lowercase a, it gets in the second. So that's why I tell you that things are case sensitive. Because if you're comparing to capital ABC and you type in lowercase ABC, it doesn't match. The binary is not the same, and it doesn't match. Now, when I say convert to upper, then it makes the change over here and converts it to upper. Now, it actually doesn't change the data. It just changes it for the moment of making the comparison. So when I say convert something to upper, unless I save it, it is not going to save the conversion, but it's going to use the conversion to answer the question, are these two things equal? So it's going to use the conversion as opposed to make it permanent. Okay? Okay. So that's what lowercase is, and if we look at other lowercase numbers, you can see that B is 98, so we know that that's got the same beginning. And if you go down here and again pick up Z, Z is what, 122 and 7A. Okay, so Z is 122 and 7A. Okay, so 7A translates into binary as 0, 1, 1, 1. And A translates as 1, 0, 1, 0, right? Because A is 10, and 10 means turn on 8 and 2. Okay? So if I look at this, this is telling me lowercase, and this is telling me, okay, this is 16 is on, 8 is on, and 2 is on. So that's telling me it is the 26th letter. And so I know it's the 26th letter, and I know it is Z. Okay. And if I look at this, 0, 1, 1, 1, 1, 0, 1, 0, 1, 2, 4, 8, 16, 32, 64, 128. So what's turned on? 64, 32, 16, 8, and 2. And if I add those up, I get a 2, carry the 1, 122, right? No, 2 carry the 2. 2 carry the 2. So I get 122. So there's my 122 for my decimal equivalent. Now, if we look at numbers, okay, if we come over and look at the chat and we look at numbers, a 0 is 48 and 30. Okay, so a 0 is 48 and 30. And a 1 is 49 and 31, right? Okay. So a 0 is 48 and 30, so I look at 30,
And 30 is what? 0011, because I'm turning on a 2 and a 1. And it is 4 zeros. Okay? So, basically, this tells me that it is a number. Okay, the 001 at the front tells me it's a number. And so, looking at the beginning tells me what category of things it is. And this tells me the number. For now, for numbers, I only need the last four digits to do the which. Because numbers, there's only 9 of them, 10 of them. Okay, so 82 is going to be the 10th one. Or the, I'm sorry, 81 is the 10th one. Because 81 is 9. And 9 is the 10th digit when you start with 0. And then if you go over and look at, you can see that special characters have their own designation too. So everything basically that you can hit at the keyboard has a designation. And then they have special characters that they can use as well. But all of those special characters, you can see that you can get the 35 for a number sign is 35 and 23. So you've got special characters have a special designation too. Okay. So they've worked out this table, and when you hit the thing on the keyboard, what you hit is stored using ASCII code. Okay. Questions? Last chance. Questions. Going, going, gone. Okay, so I will put up an assignment to do what we've been playing with today. One of the things on the assignment is I'm going to give you a dump of memory and ask you to translate a couple of the lines and tell me what is in that dump. And the dump is going to be in hexadecimal. It's going to be showing the hexadecimal, and then you get to translate it and tell me what it actually is saying, what is actually stored. Okay. Okay. That was your break from programming. Now we're going to start programming again. So, I want you to bring up Visual Basic. You go into Visual Studio 2012. If you want to download this, you can download it from DreamSpec, and you can use either 2012-2013. Some of our labs have both. I use 2012 in here because I teach the Visual Basic class, and the textbook that I like hasn't upgraded to 2013 yet. So I try to stay with the version that the textbook is using. So you can use 2012 or you can use 2013. So if you say Visual Studio, it will load it. And this is where we need Pat, and he's gone, right? Okay, so. Okay. If it is not coming up as one of the frequently used, then you have to go into Programs and find Visual Studio. Okay, Microsoft Visual Studio or Visual Studio Express, it doesn't matter which one you use. I think, I'm not even sure they have the whole Express out there. No, they just have the web. So use Microsoft Visual Studio 2012. And the one you want to bring up kind of has this purple thing on it that shows it. So if it's not in the frequently used, you're going to go to Micro Studio 2012 and take Visual Studio 2012.
I have one that says, like, bland Visual Studio. Is that it?
It says what?
B-L-E-A-N-D.
I have no idea what that means.
You don't have a just plain Visual Studio? Visual Studio Express.
I went to try typing it in to try to find it. Let's just go in here to programs.
It should look the same as mine. And Microsoft Visual Studio right there. And that's the one.
Okay.
Everybody found it okay? It takes forever. It doesn't take forever at home, it just takes forever here. Did you find it all right? Everybody got it?
You clicked on it though, right?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
It takes forever. For some reason in the labs, at home it comes up a lot quicker.
Okay. Is everybody up yet?
No.
Okay, we're still having to be patient. Okay, are you seeing it? Still not? I guess it's having a fit that we're all loading simultaneously.
I have it.
You know, how did you get lucky?
I don't know.
The guy on the left has it. Wow. I should be timing this so I can file my official. It took 10 minutes type of comment.
Probably should have turned it on at the beginning of the class and it would have been ready for now.
That's right. From now on, when you come in, turn it on. As I said, I'm out next week, but the week after we're going to be using Visual Basic that week. So, and this Thursday. So just when you walk in here, turn it on. You've got it now, okay?
Is everyone okay?
What? Oh, no, everybody's just sitting here watching.
The bar go up, yeah.
Yes.
That's fine. It'll be like this in every classroom, by the way. So if you're dealing with Visual Basic or Visual Studio, turn it on early. Unless it's your computer. If you have your own computer and you've actually downloaded it and put it on your laptop, it'll open up like nothing.
Right.
So it's just...
And at home it will look.
Yeah.
And this can be downloaded, as I said, using DreamSpark. The one that is DreamSpark, right?
Yeah,
DreamSpark. The same one that you got access from downloading, you can go in and download this.
I recommend it, too, because it's a really expensive software.
Oh, it is?
Free for here. So if I were you, probably download that if you can.
2012 or 2013. If you want to be totally compatible with what I'm doing, I'm going to do 2012, because, as I said, the textbook didn't change.
13 works just
but
fine.
But 13 works just fine. So you can go with either one. In fact, somebody told me that they got the newer version of the textbook and it came with Express 2013 in the back. You can also download Visuals Express version from Microsoft for free, and that's perfectly fine. The Express version is actually what I use on one of my computers at home, and I have the full version on another one.
but the Express version that you can download free from Microsoft is fine for our purposes.
But honestly, I'd say download it. Because, again, really expensive software, and it's nice. And it'll help you out along the way with other classes.
How are we doing?
Good.
Is yours up okay? Huh?
Yes.
Are we getting there? Okay.
Yeah, 95%.
Okay, so now you're going to come over and you're going to do file new project. Okay, file new project and click on that. Okay. Now this is an important screen because Visual Basic and Visual Studio are not happy if you move things around too much. Because they have a lot going on behind the scenes. So once it's done, you can then move the whole folder. But if you try to move in progress, it's going to be a disaster. So don't do that. So what you want to do is come in here and decide where you want to put it. Okay, I'm going to put it.
Point in mind, forget it.
Okay. I'm going to put it in on my flash drive. Okay, but if you don't have a flash drive that you want to put it on the T drive. Okay, so I'm going to put it in the flash drive.
Okay.
And I'm going to say that it's going to go into VB120. So I've selected the folder. Okay, so I have a folder in there. If you don't want to put it in a folder, just select the drive. But I'm putting it. Okay, I just did browse. I just clicked on browse, and I went and found it. And I went to my G drive, which is what I happen to have. And then I clicked a folder that I happen to have in there. But if you don't want it in a folder, that's fine. Just stop at G. Okay? And then I clicked on select folder.
You can also use stop space if you don't have a flash drive.
Yeah, right. Put it on the T drive if you don't have a flash drive. And now I'm going to call it something. So I'm calling it First 2015. Okay? So basically what I've done is I've picked where I want it to go, and I've given it a name. And it's real important that you do that. You're going to get yourself into trouble if you don't. Okay? And that one is frequently the level of trouble where we say, just start it over. Okay? So if you try to move it and it gets lost, it's a pain to work with. The other thing you want to do is say, create directory for the solution so that all of the solution will be in one directory or folder. And that way, when you send it to me, you can just zip up that directory and send it. Because it's going to generate a load of stuff behind the scenes. And you've got to send that all to me so that I can run it. So if you put it into a directory and say create directory for solution, and then it will save it in a folder, and all you have to do is zip up that folder and send it to me. Okay, so in all honesty, this is probably the most important screen in the whole operation, because if you don't get this right, it's going to cause aggravation all over the place. Okay? So now I'm clicking OK. Now, if you do not have the Express version as opposed to the real version, the name, I believe, is not going to let you do that here. So if you have the Express version instead of the real version, you can't do it. Click OK. And it claims it's creating the project. And we watch it as it creates the project. So if you didn't get to do everything, you can come in here and do a save all. File, save all, and that will save it. Okay, and if it doesn't have a name, it will then prompt you for a name and all that good stuff. So if you are using the Express version, you have to do that. Okay, you should have these four things going on. You need to have a toolbar over here. And if it's set up, unless somebody's messed up, it's looking that way.
On the left, that says toolbar. Click on it, toolbox will show up.
You should have the Solution Explorer up here. You should have the properties here, and you should have the form here. Okay? And if you don't, this is the time to ask Pat for some help. Okay? You want to have these four things sitting there.
Oh, get it? There you go. Anybody else? Okay, you guys hit the toolbar.
See this little pin he's talking about?
You're welcome.
If I make that little pin go sideways, it unpins. And then if I click toolbox and make the pin go up and down, it's there. And you want it there. Okay, so this is starting us out. Now, we have properties associated with the form. And we are going to now put on some text boxes and some labels from the toolbar. So I'm going to drag over a label. So I'm coming over here, and I'm dragging over a label. I can either drag it over or I can take it over, and it ends up being there as label one. Okay? So I came over to the toolbox, I clicked on label, and I either dragged it over or I took it over and kind of drew it out. Okay? It ignores the size that I draw it. It makes it its own size. But I can still think I'm involved. Okay, so now once I have got the label, I'm going to say that I want to take in somebody's name. So I'm going to call this name, to tell them to type in a name. Okay? Down here, I have two things that show how to show the property. The first one says group it under things like appearance, font, and everything. My preference is alphabetical. So the A through Z one is there, and that's alphabetical. So I prefer to see these alphabetical, but if you prefer to see them categorized, you can hit the first label there. It's really what you like. So I'm going to change the name of this label. And so I'm scrolling up, and right at the top, and this one isn't alphabetical, right at the top it has something that says label one. And I'm going to give it a name. And the name I'm going to give it is LBL name. Okay, now.
Wait,
where'd
you do that?
I didn't tell you. Right here under name. If you go and alphabetize, if you hit on that to alphabetize, it's the third from the top. And I called it LBL name, and I capitalized the N on name. Now, you don't have to call it that, but if you want to look like you know what you're doing, labels will have an LBL at the beginning, and then they'll tell what they are. So that's what Visual Basic is expecting of you. If I call this apples or bananas, it will work just fine. But I won't look like I know what I'm doing. Okay?
So I'm going to call it LBL name, and it's under the name.
So that means this is the name of the field, and this is kind of like setting up a variable. I'm setting up the name of the field on the form. So I've got this field on the form, and I'm calling it LBL name. Now I can scroll down and find the text property. And on the text property, it says label 1. I'm going to change that to name with a colon after it. And when I do that, it changes the contents of the box. So I've now assigned something to the box, and it now says name colon. Okay? So it says name colon.
Go to text
and change the name in text.
Where it says label 1?
Yes. And change that to name. Now that's kind of telling me what I want to put there. Now I'm going to take a text box. So I look down under the toolbar and I find the thing that says text box. And I drag that up here, and I put it next to the name. Now, this is where I want them to enter the name. So the label was more to give the user a clue what I want them to put in this box. Where they're going to put in the box is, where they're going to key is in the box. It defaults to calling this text box 1. Again, to look like what I'm doing, know what I'm doing, I'm going in and call this TXT name. So they suggest that anything that is a text box that has the prefix of TXT. So labels have LBL and text boxes have TXT. Okay? So I wrote TXT name there. So now what I've got is I've got two things defined on my form, a label and a text box. Okay? I'm going to basically say hello world. So what I'm going to do here is put on a button. So I'm going to go over and I'm taking a button and I'm putting a button up here. So I dragged over a button, and it calls it button 1. Now, will everything work if I leave things' names alone and call them button 1 and text box 1? Sure. But again, if you want to look like you know what you're doing, then you're going to change them. And so I'm going to call this BTN click, because I want my user to click on this button. So BTN is the prefix for a button. So I'm going to call it BTN click. Okay. Now I want to put the words click on there instead of the button 1 word. So I'm going to scroll down and I'm going to find text. And where it says text, I am changing that, and I'm going to write click. And notice the magic that happens. Right now, over here, it says button 1. As soon as I leave this spot, it is going to say click. So now I have turned that into click. Okay, so when I click, I'm going to go and do an activity. Okay? Now, what I'm going to do now is put up another box, another text box, where I'm going to put the results. And I'm going to call this text greeting, because I'm going to say hello to them. Okay, once they type in their name, I'm going to say hello.
so I'm calling that text reading. Now notice I only change the name on the text boxes. I don't change text because I don't want anything in there. The user's going to put stuff in there. So I'm calling that text greeting. Okay, so what I should have right now on my form is a label that says name, two text boxes, and a button. Okay? So now I want to write the code that I want to happen when somebody clicks on the button. So to do that, I put my mouse on top of the click button, and I double click. And it generates this subroutine. It generates a subroutine. And the subroutine is called button click. Okay? So this is... Yeah, okay, it's going to let me write. This is the button's name. And this is an event. It's called the click event. So when I click, I'm going to execute the code in the click event for that button. And you can pretty much ignore the rest of this stuff. This says handles the button click, meaning when you click the button, it does it. But what you have to focus on is doing nothing at this point. Because as soon as you click the button, it created this for you. It is a subroutine that is going to be executed when you click the button. So inside this subroutine, I am going to say text greeting, only I can't spell, TXT. And notice when I type TXT, it's so helpful. It comes up and tells me all of the possibilities that I've used. So I can keep typing if I want to, or I can not take a picture because it messes things up. Or I can say, okay, TXT, and I can just click on this to tell it to use that. And then I'm going to write .txt. Okay. The .txt is the property. Remember when I said I put up a label and I said I'm going to change the text property? I'm going to change the text property. Well, what I want here is when you click on this button, I want to change the greeting property. I want to change the text property for text reading. I want to change the property associated. So I'm saying change the text, and I'm going to say equal to, and I'm going to put hello in side quotes because I want to say hello. So I'm saying hello inside of quotes. So right now what I've got is text greeting dot text equals hello. And then I'm going to concatenate. And concatenate is an ampersand in this world. Sometimes concatenate is a plus sign. Sometimes it's a period. Sometimes it's a word. This time it is an ampersand. And I'm saying I want to concatenate that with text, the text name dot text. And as I said, what text name dot text means is, okay, text name dot text means take the text property of text name. As we'll see in a few minutes, if we have time, I can change the color of a box. I can change the size of the box. I can change a whole lot of things.
So I have to be specific and say what I want to change is the text that's in this box, the text property. Okay, so I've now written here text greeting.text equals hello, and notice I put a space after the O because I'm concatenating, and I've done that in other languages too, concatenated with text name.text. Now, the wonderful thing about Visual Basic is if I didn't spell it right, it underlines. So it tells me where I made my mistake and gives me a lot of help in getting that fixed. Okay? We do JavaScript first so that Visual Basic will be, oh, isn't that nice? It tells me when I've messed up. Okay.
We'll give you the white screen of death.
That's right. So now I am going to come up to this green kind of diamond up there with the word start next to it. And I'm going to click on that green diamond and the program starts. Okay. So there's my program, and I've got that lovely little key bar that's associated with smart boards, so ignore that. So I'm going to say Ann.
Wait, where do you hit the play
button up on the top there?
The start.
Yeah, it's
a diamond that says start. So I have Ann. Okay, I've got Ann. And I now have the click of it. So I'm going to click on it, and it now says, Hello, Anne. That's all I did was just click on it, and it executed this code and said, Hello, Anne, because I entered Anne in as the name. So it has now run. Okay. When I want to quit, I just click on the X, and it goes back to regular mode. Now I'm going to go back. Notice I have up here Form 1VB and Form 1VB Design. Design gives me the form. Form 1VB gives me the code. And I can go back and forth. So I'm going to go into Design, and I'm going to say I would like that greeting to have a font. So I'm clicking on, I clicked on the text box that I want to impact. Over here it says text greeting. I went and found the thing called font. And I am clicking on font and saying, eventually, it's really slow today. I'm going to make that font bold, and I'm going to make it 16. So I am changing some of the things there, and I said okay. Now if I run it, and I type in John, and I click, it gives me Hello John, and it's bold and it's big. Okay. So now I can say, okay, I want to change the four color. And I go to custom and I click on red. And I've now said I want it to be red. So if I start and I type in Susan and click, Hello Susan comes up and it's now red. Okay? So I can go in and make a lot of changes, and that's why I said you have to be specific in the properties. I had to tell it was the text property. because I have properties that change color, I have properties that change size, and all of that good things. Okay? So, we have a few minutes left. Play with this if you like. Put on another text box, put on something that will say goodbye and have them click another button to say goodbye, or whatever you want to do. But play around with this for the next few minutes. And anybody that's got problems, let us know so we can get it going. Yeah.
Okay.
You think? Actually, I'm going to turn off